We are all motivated by meaning, which is why the Reinvent podcast aims to bring you a wide range of relevant information, focusing on all aspects of physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. The objective of this show is to pick the minds of some of the most interesting people, all with their own stories of personal transformation, so that you can make the changes towards a more meaningful, healthier, and happier life. My name is Nikki Robertson. I'm a clinical nutritionist, NLP practitioner, and founder of Reinvent Health. Necessity, as we know, is the mother of invention. Never was this more true than in the current state we're finding ourselves in. The COVID pandemic has sped up the progression of many areas of tech, from virtual conferencing to the way we communicate with our doctors. Telemedicine encompasses not only virtual medical consultations, but extends to wearables, apps, and even remote surgery, making healthcare more accessible and proactive. In this episode, I chat with Neil Kinsley of Medici South Africa and Dion Burrs, Global Group Executive of Operations at Spesmet Global, about the future of virtual healthcare. Telemedicine isn't just about talking to a doctor via Zoom. It's been around for a couple of years. It's a way of collecting and managing patient data in a way that enables a doctor to quickly access patient history, probably gain a better insight into things that a patient may or may not disclose because they don't know that telling their doctor that some other doctor put them on a certain medication that contraindicates their painkillers. And we see this a lot. So, you know, in the last couple of weeks or months, patients and doctors have got more accustomed to a virtual consult, which until now has been something that has probably been very difficult to bring into public awareness. What are your thoughts around that?
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, you're 100% right. I think it's really been put on, you know, under a spotlight within the last month or two. And the idea of a virtual consultation has become a lot more attractive because, I mean, there's a convenience element to it, obviously. But the pure fact that you're able to get care from your practitioner without potentially leaving your house is a very attractive one. But, you know, and the reality is that it's actually been happening for quite a long time. I say this quite often, is that you know, consultations or telemedicine, virtual medicine, is as old as the telephone, because it's not uncommon for doctors to be, you know, their patients reach out to them all the time on email or on SMS or WhatsApp, etc. And these are all forms of telemedicine. It is extending care over a remote distance, you know, where both patient and doctor are not in the same place. I think it's really just in the last 2 months or so where, you know, more and more doctors have started to use it. They're inviting their patients to use it, and it's really working, you know, for everybody. And I think it's, you know, as patients realize that it's just becoming so much more convenient, they're able to get that care without exposing themselves to a doctor's consulting room. It's a very attractive idea.
Yes. So let's go back a step and how did you get involved in this line of work? What drove you into this what's becoming the new normal? I hate using that terminology, but it really is. Yeah,
absolutely, it is. You're right. It is the new normal. I was actually working for Discovery for many years, and at some point in my career with Discovery, I was shipped off to Chicago to support the sales and marketing team in our efforts to bring Discovery and the Vitality program into Chicago, into the state of Illinois. Wow. And while I was there, I happened to meet a chiropractor and an insurance broker. Just, you know, that's how it worked out. And many years, you know, we just kept in contact. And many years later, when I was looking for an alternative, the chiropractor is our CEO in the US, and the insurance broker was our global development manager. And they reached out to me and they said to me, you know, you've been in healthcare, you understand healthcare financing, you understand the challenges of extending care. Why don't you come across? And you know, I've been doing it now for just over 3 years. And I mean, it's been amazing because I have seen how telemedicine has completely transformed some practices. I've met doctors. I've met a psychiatrist who runs a 100% virtual practice.
Yes.
I've seen practitioners turn their practice into a 50% virtual practice within a couple of weeks. I've seen practitioners over the last 2 months have no interruption to their remuneration or revenue at all because of the fact that they used virtual care. So it's been an amazing and an extremely exciting ride. But that's pretty much how I got into it.
And Dion, what is your story behind this new tech?
So my story dates back. I'm a physiotherapist by training and qualified. I've been involved in healthcare, all the various aspects of healthcare over many years, working in the state, working in private sector, working in South Africa, working in the UK. I was the president of the Physio Society at a stage as well. And then also, it's funny how all roads tend to lead to a similar place. I did consult to Discovery Health as well as the CSIR. And that kind of gave a really nice sort of 360 view of healthcare. And all the different challenges that we face, whether you're the administrator, the scheme, the provider, the patient. And so that gave an interesting view. And we kind of stepped into developing ProfNet Medical as a service to allied healthcare professionals, those healthcare professionals other than the doctors and the dentists, to kind of address common challenges and common opportunities. And we did that in collaboration with the Spesnet Group that's been around since 2002. And so ProfNet forms one of the sister companies within the stable, providing technology solutions to the healthcare environment, both in private and in public. And we've expanded even into the global space of Southeast Asia and the US. And it's with that kind of platform that we looked at constantly advancing our systems to help the practitioner on the ground. We developed EasyMed, which is a practice management application or practice management system, 2.5 years ago. And that went into market, catering for healthcare practitioners on a modern technology platform, being fully mobile, being intelligent, and being easy to use. And as we've looked at EasyMed and rolling that out into the market, obviously technology's enhancing at a rapid rate, I think faster than people can adapt to it. And the COVID crisis has been a catalyst, I think, in shaping people's behavior, whether you're the patient or the healthcare provider.
Yeah, absolutely.
In embracing technology, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's with that we kind of crossed paths with Medici and with Neil and said, listen, we've got a great product, you've got a great product. Putting the two together will really bring to the healthcare market what is needed as far as bringing telehealth into the hands of the healthcare provider and making it as easy as possible for the patients to engage.
So how challenging has it been, firstly, to get, say, the medical aid schemes, the professional councils and governing bodies to pay for consultations that are not in person in the sort of the absence of a physical examination? I know that there's a lot of red tape, and bureaucracy around these things. And it seems that with COVID, the adoption of this was almost taken out of their, they couldn't say no because they had to suddenly up the game. What's your experience been around that?
I think Neil can come in quite strongly on the pre-COVID times and the experience that led us up to that point. But I think one of the major catalysts that have moved us into the space we find ourselves now is the regulatory councils reviewing their position on telemedicine or telehealth in the face of COVID, on how do we actually reach out and continue to service the patients and do all the screenings required to direct the patients into the right health facilities. Telehealth is an obvious solution to that challenge. So we found that both the Health Professions Council, as well as the Allied Health Professions Council, as well as the Social Work Council, have stepped up and said we have to rapidly relook at our regulation that has been quite restrictive to what can be provided by healthcare providers, and allowing contact. The first phase, really, from the Health Professions Council was let's engage with telehealth to current patients, and then the second step was taken to, in fact, say, even new patients to the practice can engage with the healthcare providers. So they came to the party, and the regulation has changed to cater for the current COVID crisis. But we do believe that post-COVID they will review their position rather than just click the reset button, and we look forward to seeing what that new regulatory framework will look like.
What I should mention as well is that I think there's a perception that it's really only with COVID that the medical aides have been paying for virtual consults. Actually, not really the case. Some of the more forward-thinking medical aides were paying for virtual care 2 years ago, at least. And we saw the larger ones like Discovery, for example. They brought out an offering. BankMed, you know, did something very similar. MMI did something very similar. ProfMeds did something. So there've actually been a couple of medical aides that have already introduced virtual care into their benefit schedule. It's just, I think, that there was a lot more clarity around how much would be reimbursed. Obviously, the reimbursement rates also increased, which was great for practitioners. There was a stack more clarity around coding and which codes to use. And as Dion correctly said, I mean, we saw literally, you know, within a 2 or 3 week period, we had a change in legislation that may have probably taken us years to achieve. And I'm with him on it. I think there's certainly going to be a relook at those regulations. I don't think we're going to have a reset, but I think we're going to have a look at what those regulations may look like after COVID. But right now, the reality is that virtual care and telemedicine is playing a vital role in extending care. And it's pretty much the solution to social distancing.
Yes, it is. And also in a country like ours, where we've got people who live in such far-flung areas that don't have access to quality medical care. And, you know, your overheads as a practitioner are so much lower when you're providing a virtual service, that you can, in the same space, provide really good quality care, or at least advice, first-line therapy to people who may not otherwise have access to medicine.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was probably one of our driving factors around creating Medici. We watched for years as the practice of medicine just became more complex. You know, there's regulation, there's medical aid requirements, there's regulatory requirements, there's all sorts of things that just really bog a practitioner down on a daily basis. We watched as well as, you know, it's easy for people to WhatsApp each other and use SMS and email. And it's, you know, even in COVID, right? I mean, people were Zooming and Skyping, and they were, you know, they were communicating all the time. And consumers were reaching out to their doctors all the time. And that's one of the driving factors around, you know, behind Medici, is that in a country like ours, where you have two things, one is language very often, and the other one is a geographical barrier to access to primary healthcare. We were very confident that we could solve for both of those problems. And we believe in Medici, we have exactly done that.
You know,
I think if I can complement and add into that is, it's not only about the accessibility and affordability of care and being able to reach out to your healthcare practitioner at your convenience and the convenience of the healthcare provider, but what I've really been encouraged by is that prior to our state of disaster, I think a lot of the focus and benefit was geared to the general practitioner. And services from the GP to the patients and to nurses in remote areas from a benefit point of view in the medical schemes and so on. But what's really been encouraging for me is how that's opened up to the other healthcare providers within the holistic team taking care of the patient. And so, you know, we're seeing more and more schemes coming on board and supporting telehealth or telemedicine strategies for various healthcare providers. And if you think of the journey, for example, of a diabetic patient, they'll be consulting their GP, the endocrinologist. But complementing that team is the likes of podiatry, biokinetics, physiotherapy, dietitians, and that all gives that holistic view that the nurse to actually manage the patient holistically in a multidisciplinary, or probably even better, an interdisciplinary approach. And I think that's quite important that the telehealth platforms allow for that and enable that and empower that in the way that Medici and EasyMed do.
Yeah, sure. I mean, expanding the knowledge base is the one thing that really stands out for me. And there's no more operating in a confined environment. The information is now out there, and what practitioners are learning on the ground now with all of this available to them is, it's quite profound. That's, you know, the difference between traditional practice.
100%. I mean, previously, if you wanted to get a multidisciplinary team around a patient, it was typically a bricks and mortar consideration about the facility that the practice is running from. But now you can bring in virtual network of providers and teams from various places around the country, around the world even, to bring them in and actually consult and bring the best of breed to the patient in managing their complex conditions. Because very seldom is it an isolated condition, but you might have diabetes that's further complicated by obesity or hypertension and so on. So you need that team of healthcare providers to provide that support, not only to each other as far as second opinions and so on goes, but obviously directed at the patient.
Yeah. So patients are nowadays quite happy to consult with Dr. Google and get onto a forum and discuss their ailments quite openly and take advice from not very professional, you know, opinions. You can go into any Facebook page and Google whatever you're suffering from and get all sorts of advice, but not from doctors. And they're quite happy to go with that advice. So I don't think it's the patients who have got a problem with embracing technology around medicine, but the doctors is another question, because as a doctor is trained to diagnose via physical examination, and by Zoom, you can't really do that. You can't look down someone's throat or check their eardrums via Zoom. So what has been the response from doctors, generally speaking?
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. And I think one thing is very clear is that virtual care will never replace an in-office face-to-face consult. That's always going to be the primary extension of care, and, it'll never replace that. And it's quite interesting, intuitively, you would almost think that it would be the younger doctor, the more tech savvy kind of doctor, I think. Oh. That's what you'd sort of think. And you would think that the younger doctor might soon jump onto this. But we actually find that some of our most frequent users are actually more elderly doctors. And I think it's because they've just got more experience, maybe. I don't exactly know what the real reason is. But we find that the take up has been phenomenal. And I think, honestly, we're not actually asking them to do anything that they haven't been doing forever. So all we're saying is that you have been doing this already. We're offering you a platform that is, number one, secure. Number two, does have a revenue opportunity if it's appropriate. Number three, keeps records, an electronic health record, allows you to attach photographs, etc., whatever it may be. And allows you to extend virtual care on your terms. So it's not that different to what they're already doing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think Nikki, the challenge is that how does one bring that all together into that electronic health record or into one central professional platform? As Neil alluded to earlier, doctors, healthcare practitioners are engaging with their patients using various platforms. I know of psychologists that might use a Skype for a consultation, use WhatsApp for another channel of communication, use SMS to schedule appointments and to report back on symptoms, for example, use emails. So you end up with a myriad of technology platforms that one can use to engage with your patients. And trust me, I think right from young to old, doctors and patients alike are engaging on those platforms. But I think there's an inner danger in that, in the fragmentation of those communication channels. In being accountable to communications, reports, opinions that have been given through these various channels, that if you held accountable by your regulator, for example, the HPCSA, calling on evidence or information relating to an intervention with a patient 2 or 3 years later, the challenge is always, where do you find that information? Because you can't quite remember, how did I communicate to this patient? Checked my emails, checked my SMSs. And there's a danger in that. Firstly, the patients are communicating with you on your personal cell phone, and there's also that there isn't that separation of professional patient channels and relationship. But secondly, having it all in one place to have a continued clinical note process to manage all of that and populate that into electronic health record, so that you can actually see, I SMS'd the patient on that day, they responded back to me by WhatsApp. Yeah, I did a telehealth consultation where I actually observed, looked at the photograph, looked at the video, found the following and recommended the following, and then had a contact session with that patient. So that history, that whole timeline about the journey of the contact between the patient and the practitioner, the healthcare practitioner, I think is very important. And in such a way that we've solved for that in such an eloquent way within EasyMed and integrated with Medici, that we've in fact got underwriters who have acknowledged that management of that in line with the Health Professions Council's regulations and discounted excess fees that are typically applicable in the telehealth space. So I think that's quite a strong testament to the importance of having a central record of all those communications and having evidence of the actual interaction that did take place that may or may not be billed for.
Yeah, that's critical. So going forward, I mean, we've seen recently how this has just skyrocketed because of a crisis, but where are we going in the future? We've seen so many advances as far in sort of wearables are concerned. We've heard stories of people wearing devices that have warned them that they have got irregular heartbeats, so they go and get checked out and manage to avoid a heart attack, for example. There's so much happening in the world of tech. How would you do you foresee this all being integrated again into as one platform where you've got all of these checks and balances in place and all this information? Is quite a job to push this all through one central way of managing things.
Yeah, it is. But and you know, it's moving so quickly, and that's what also the biggest challenge, because the tech is moving so quickly that, you know, what was out last month is almost old news. And you know, the wearable devices, etc. You know, that's been around for quite a long time already. If you just look at what Apple and Google are doing, just to bring those sort of technological advances into the clinical world, you know, by the end of this year, we're going to be seeing some amazing things. But, you know, Nikki, you made a really good point just now. You said we've seen patients that use WebMD and Google Doc all the time. They're quite happy to do that.
Yeah.
And if you ask them, why did you not do that with your doctor? They'll say, well, my doctor wasn't available virtually.
Right.
That's what they've been turning to. So I think that with more and more doctors going onto a virtual platform, I think we're going to see a lot more, less reliant on, you know, less patients reliant on WebMD and Googling themselves and their ailments, and rather, and you know, we've said this a few times, I think it's going to be difficult to put the genie back into the bottle, because doctors have already seen the power of virtual care. Patients have experienced it. And I think we'll see what happens with regulations, but as long as regulations are still friendly, I think we are going to see, this is just going to be, I think we're beyond the question of, is telemedicine going to be around post-COVID? I think the question more so is, which platform will you use and how will you use this in the most efficient and effective way in your practice?
Mm. So one other question that just comes to mind is that there are people who are worried about disclosing their information, especially to a large organization like a medical aid, because they're afraid that if they disclose anything untoward, it could affect their insurance premiums, or they could be refused you know, a service further on down the line. What are the checks and balances in place that stop that from happening, that this information is for the doctor and it's not to be used by an insurance company, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% right. And it is one of the fears that a patient has. You know, what is going to be happening? You know, what happens with my private clinical data? And that's why it is so important. And it's something that Dion and I have been on about on our webinars in the last couple of weeks. And that is the platform or the solution that is chosen by the practitioner needs to be secure, needs to be compliant. You need to know where that data is held and who has access to that data, because you want to be able to give peace of mind to your patient that, you know, that the confidentiality of the data between the patient and the practitioner is sacred. And, yes, you know, you need to give that peace of mind. And it's absolutely one of the critical elements that a practitioner needs to take into account when choosing a platform.
Okay.
What we've done, Nikki, I think, and that is important, is that the clinical notes, what we do is we combine the notes taken within the Medici platform and obviously the notes that the practitioner does within their practice management system, and combine those into the patient healthcare record. And it's always a contentious point about who does that information belong to. Obviously, the patient's details and information is protected under the POPI Act, and we need to ensure that is protected in the correct manner. But second to that, there are notes and conversations that I had where the healthcare provider requires that information in the management of the patient, and sometimes that information is not even the patient's not even privy to that, because that information may be used in such a way to protect the patient, for example, in psychology assessments and so on.
Yes.
But that information must be secured and available to the practitioner, so that should there ever be a point that they are held accountable or called in front of their regulator or in a forensic audit review type of environment, or even the patient asking for information after the fact, that there's a proper and robust set of information that the practitioner can then reference, remind themselves of the interactions that did in fact take place, and then either report off of those notes, or if it's subpoenaed, actually submit those notes forward into a court of law. But it is important that we respect the patient's privacy in that, and that this information isn't just standardly submitted through to a medical scheme if it's not in the process of actually securing funding and payment for that intervention. So it must be appropriate sharing of that information and not just a broad blanket sharing.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the biggest hurdle in the minds of the doctor and the patient is how will this all be handled and who has access to it. I think that's probably, look, for me, that would be my big question. As a practitioner, how would I get to find out about your products, what you can do for my practice and the training involved?
Sure. So I think there's a couple of ways. I think the first one is to find out more relating specifically to the EasyMed and Medici solution that we have. We do have a website that can be accessed. It's medicimed.co.za. Medici is medici.co.za. We do have easymeds.solutions as a website as well, which is also directed from there, and then medici.md. So those are the various platforms you can go and access to find out more about the various products and how they work together.
And then, as you said, you've got weekly webinars, and those answer all sorts and kinds of questions that a practitioner would have. Do you have anything available for patients who are wanting to find out, address any of their questions or concerns?
I think Neil can answer just a bit around the patients and their interest in what that platform looks like and how that's catered specifically for them. But I think just as far as the webinars themselves go, we are running a series of webinars every Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll be running that for the medium term, where we've actually created quite a relaxed, informal environment where we have different panelists coming on and speaking about telehealth and other challenges in private practice. And this was really birthed off multiple phone calls that I'd received from healthcare providers that are in fact feeling through this COVID crisis are feeling quite isolated and not really sure what they can and can't do. They're really reaching out for a conversation with other healthcare providers to try and assist and navigate the complexity that we find ourselves in. There are so many questions.
Sure.
And we found we've had to lift our caps on those webinars to cater for up to 1,000 delegates. Wow. Because of the massive interest. And we've also had a request for demoing the actual system live to actually so that practitioners can see exactly what that looks like, which we'll be doing tomorrow, Tuesday the 2nd of June, from 4 to 5 as well. So I think that's exciting platforms that we're not just speaking to the healthcare professionals out there, but taking questions and assisting those questions then assist us in guiding the next programs that we'll be rolling out. But that's all listed on our easymed.solutions website for the webinars that are taking place.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was just going to just go on to that point about patients. I mean, so patients really get to Medici because they have been navigated there by their doctors. Generally, I'll tell you one thing about telemedicine as well, and this we know well, and that is patients actually want to speak to their own doctor. They don't necessarily want to speak to any doctor. And that's why you find once the practitioner has chosen Medici as a platform, they tend to then, bring their patients in. And we've got a couple of support mechanisms to assist. So for us, it is around getting the practitioner on first. And ultimately, Medici is a tool for practitioners. It's used by patients, but the features within Medici are all around how do we make the work-life balance of the practitioner better. So once the practitioner has chosen Medici, they tend to bring the patients in.
I think second to that also, Nikki, is that the patients have a dedicated, they navigated in a very simple way through their diary appointments with the practice, where they get a reminder of the consultation, together with a deep link that automatically, by clicking that on their phones, will actually navigate them to download the Medici patient app, which is very specifically focused at the patient experience to keep that as simple and as easy to use as possible. And then automatically links that patient with their healthcare provider that's in fact set up that scheduled session with them for the teleconsultation. So from there, it becomes a very simple process to navigate through, allowing them to continue in everything that they are used to through normal face-to-face consultations, being that the medical aid details are already up with the provider, claims are sent through to the medical scheme in the normal fashion. So the only variable here is that rather than coming into the practice, they have another place of service as such, being the comfort of their own home, engaging with the practitioner that they do know. And that's often in examples like follow-ups and just checking on the patient to be sure they're okay.
Yes.
Do they really need to come in for that follow-up assessment, or can that be done through telehealth? So it's that additional convenient layer that's added into the existing patient provider relationship, and even those new patients to the practice.
Okay, this is brilliant. It's so promising. So, yeah, I would say we are sort of heading for launch on the future of medicine, and this is, it's a very exciting space to be in if we can get our heads around the pace at which this is all taking off. But I think this is true for all industries at the moment. We've got to just tread water and keep up, and it will make life easier in the long term. I'm convinced of that. So thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best luck with your product and getting it out there. And let's just hope that the legislation will stay in favor, all the bureaucracy will stay in favor of making sure that this grows. And I don't see why not.
Thank you, Nikki. And thanks for the opportunity to discuss this with you and to share our excitement in how we are changing and shaping the landscape of healthcare going forward.
Very exciting. So yes, thank you so much for your time again.